Oh, okay. Those are beautiful areas to
Yes.
read. Yes. That's very good. And how is your family doing, Joe? Yeah, good. Kept them in our prayers. Sure. Liam, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I just ate dinner. It was all right. How about you?
Oh, thankfully, enjoying life
Nice.
with this beautiful beach all around me.
Very nice. You experience much flooding?
Oh, nothing much here. No, not at all.
Yeah, not much here either.
Yeah, I know they predicted a lot, but somehow, I don't know, maybe it was that special prayer that Father Michael sent out, but we definitely prayed and asked God's blessings, and by his mercies, a lot of the storm didn't come our way. It was much less than they had predicted, so. But I know some of you got some power outages.
I just got a text from Braden about an hour ago, and he sent a video of his surroundings. He lives in Eden, Georgia, and his place is just surrounded with water. And it hasn't gotten inside the house yet, but they're worried that tonight it might get in the house.
Oh,
There's a
wow.
lot of streams up in those areas. There was a lot of overflow of streams and water coming down in addition to the rainwater in some of these areas. So hopefully he will, it won't get into the house. We'll see.
That can be intense.
I had to cut down. I had a big tree fall on my one of our rental properties, and I had to go out there and in the rain and fix a roof and cut up a tree, and it was all kinds of fun.
Wow.
Glad you're okay.
Yeah, I'm glad everybody's okay.
Well, we're just waiting for anybody else to show up last minute, but maybe we will start. I'm going to check the sharing of the screen, make sure it's working. Let me try, especially with all the changes I've made to Zoom. Let's see what shows up. Does everyone see that on the screen?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, cool. Well, that's a good thing. So, looks like Emma was able to make it too. Emma, are you by yourself or is John with you? If you're talking, you're muted, just to let you know. She might not be. Oh, I can't hear anything and I'm trying to troubleshoot why. Okay, oh no, that's no fun. That's no fun.
Hi, hello. I got it.
Oh, there you are. Good, good, good.
Hi. I'm gonna stay muted and my camera off because I'm actually at the Hose Goods house right now, checking in after the storm and making sure everything's okay because they're out of town.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's good to see everyone.
Yes. So you're by yourself there, or you're with John?
I'm by myself. Both Austin and John are training in California.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, glad you could join us. Well, I am going to hit the record button. Let's see if it will record, hopefully.
Recording in progress.
Father Michael, if you would bless us with prayer, I would appreciate it.
We are in the midst of the Feast of the Transfiguration. We weren't able to have a liturgy on Tuesday, but this feast continues through Sunday. So let's pray the tropar of the Transfiguration. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thou wast transfigured on the Mount, O Christ God, revealing thy glory to thy disciples as far as they could bear it. Let thine everlasting light shine down upon us sinners through the prayers of the Theotokos, O giver of light. Glory to thee. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Michael. Well, last week, or last meeting, we had delved into this topic. We're going to go deeper into it. We had talked about how to overcome stressors with a unique Orthodox foundation and Orthodox options. And along that line, in order to catch up some of the people that were not here last time, I'm going to review a little bit of what we covered last week, last study, and then we will, hopefully some of that review will help those who maybe have gotten into some challenges with hurricanes and stuff, and maybe forgotten what we had covered from the last time. We were really, I was really thankful, by the way, that the last time we had so many people that had shared their blessings and shared their thoughts, their experiences, their challenges. And it is vital that we remain humble enough to ask those questions and watch out for any secret pride that might try to creep in to hold us back from asking questions, because we're afraid that we might look dumb, or we might be asking dumb questions, or we might look bad. Just throw all that logismi, demonic temptations, or whatever they are, just throw them out and make sure you're open to asking questions. We'll have times where you can ask questions and write down some of your thoughts that you can share. And I really want to hear some of your thoughts as we're going through this. Feel free to write them down. When I ask you to share, feel free to share. We had talked about when people come into an Orthodox church, they often come with various deep anxieties, pains of jumping from one denomination to another, and just going through a lot of things in their lives. And then they're pretty anxious. Sometimes it might take them months, if not years, to enter the church. So it is important for us to acknowledge that reality and try to reach out to them and to bless them, to minister to them where they're at. And with that thought was also that we know that we can stay away with greater anxiety, like in all of life. If we avoid something, it usually builds up anxiety. Or we can enter and open our hearts to trust God. And we can also be aware that Satan will try to take away that peace that God wants for us. And he will try to grow my anxieties to keep me away and to close my heart to not trust him. With all of that we had talked about, and knowing that we are in a spiritual battle, we want to have a battle plan to not have our hearts run over with anxious thoughts. And we want to move forward with the thought that we're entering a marathon, not a sprint. And that is, we're in this for the long run. Therefore, it is good that we remove that fast food mentality that drives our modern culture and saying, okay, I'm coming to church. And is the band playing the right way? Is the weather the right way? Is everybody being nice to me or not nice to me? Or is the pastor's message the great thing? And is it speaking to me right where I'm at? Or is the mic on, the mic not on? Or is the child screaming? Or whatever is going on, make sure you don't allow any of that to get in the way and to enter into the heart of God wherever you're at, whether in church, at home right now, or in at work, driving, anywhere else. We know there are a lot of anxious thoughts that come in, a lot of anxious temptations. But we also talked about this a little bit last week, and that is that God has said, okay, just like he had told the disciples, he said, I'm going to tell you that unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. But if you do, I will give you eternal life. And with that, many of his listeners said, I cannot take what you're asking me to do, Lord. I cannot trust you. And they walked away. And Jesus turned to them and said, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave also? This is what he asked his the later to be known as apostles. And they their response, Peter speaking up, saying, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. We know you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And with that passage from John 6, we enter with this same thought that we're entering the Orthodox path saying, I'm fully embracing what God has for me, and I'm not willing to walk away from anything else, because everywhere else only has an illusion. In the Orthodox faith, in the Christian faith, we have the truth. We have the source of eternal life. We have the source of peace that passes all understanding. And God has that available to all of us. He only requires of us to embrace that peace that he has for us, to embrace, to humble ourselves, to accept what is given to us as a gift. And then we also reminded us that this experience of one of our heroes of our faith, Job, being at least a parable, if not real, either way, that he prayed, it says, Lord, whatever I'm going through, rather than saying, curse God and die, as his wife wanted him to do, and rather than accept blame for what I'm not blamed for, like his friends wanted for him, in the middle of his suffering, he said, though you slay me, I'm going to trust you, Lord. And we want to enter with that same mindset, no matter what stressors we have, we're going to pray, though you slay me, I'm going to trust you, Lord. And realizing that as Jesus Christ has called us into this, he will not allow any temptation to come at us that's more than we can bear. He will always have a way out in the midst of this. We have to trust that reality. Therefore, when we are not experiencing that, there is something else that's going on. And it was beautiful to hear people sharing how after entering Orthodoxy, their prayer lives are richer. And when they fall down, they're able to get back up. As they struggle with receiving God's love in their hearts, they're open to allowing the experiences of God's grace to come in, to overcome the temptations, the challenges they have of how they were treated in their childhood by family members and friends and others, or from other religions or other paths that blocks them from experiencing God's love. And they're very open to experiencing what God has for them. And that Jesus, who is the fullness of the revelation of God with us as he is, we don't really give thoughts to those demonic antichrist views of God that try to make him to be this horrendous, evil, and vengeful God that's trying to destroy everybody. But rather we accept reality, which is when Jesus is walking with us, he is God with us. He's showing us how he is. And we accept him for who he is rather than this false representations that the world makes. And we often will come to God, as we shared, many people shared last week, that we come as unworthy as prodigal sons to partake of these God's grace in Holy Communion. Now, that was a quick summary of what we shared last week, last time. And this is going to be the end of those highlights. Before I dive deeper this time, what are your thoughts or questions as we begin this journey today?
Thank you. Job was real. Job was real and his example.
Okay.
Will live through the ages.
Possible, yeah. From what I understand, most of our church fathers have seen him more as an example of maybe how we're to be. But I know I was always taught that he was a, you know, more a literal person, but we'll find out when we get there.
That's right. But that...
Andrew, glad you were able to join us.
Hey, thanks, Anthony. Sorry, man. It automatically loads me with the open video and mute, so I hope I didn't interrupt you guys.
Not at all. No problem. Glad you were able to join.
Thank you so much, Anthony. Good to see you guys. I want to get a listening mode. I'm sure you guys are talking about some important stuff.
So we're starting this week's study after the review of last week with this focus that I wanted, that is, there are many different sources of stressors, and I want to talk about some of these. One of the sources of stressors, in case you might have noticed, is the world's news. And why? News comes at us, and whenever it is being presented by worldly people, is not coming with this thought: Christ is in charge, God is in control, he's working on his plan, we have some challenges, let's pray with one another and let's overcome these challenges. No. They start with, the world is going to end because this politician is in charge. The world is going to end because this bad thing is happening, or they will focus on that evil, that evil, this suffering. I mean, it will be like just magnifying the negatives, because somehow, in a world filled with anxiety, people can relate more to anxious thoughts, and they connect to it, and they bite into the clickbaits, and they jump in, and then the advertisers make more money, so we can receive the world's news. We'll be tempted with that. Maybe some of you are tempted, maybe you're not. I know I definitely get tempted by the world's news. And anyone else gets tempted by the world's news? If you do, raise your hand if you do. Oh, okay, there's a few of us. Now, it is our call to try to either completely avoid or reduce those which produce anxiety, while at the same time purposefully increase the reality of trusting God's eternal providence. The news can often focus on temporal happenings and what circumstances, but God wants us to focus on the reality that there is an eternal life beyond this life, and there is an eternal reality while we're in this life, and that Christ is with us in the midst of all that he allows to happen in our lives. So when there are political battles, horrible assassins, coups in various political parties, that should lead us to increase our faith and trust and rest in God. Just like a beautiful example that we've discovered, and many of us have seen this, when COVID hit, whatever you think of COVID, when COVID hit, and there were especially a lot of elderly people and those with greater sicknesses were dying, the world entered into fear, because they usually are learning to avoid death. And this is one of the greatest stressors in life. That is death, the reality that death is coming. So what most people do, they try to not face it, avoid it. And COVID, with all the news of death and all the realities, almost everybody knows either someone in their lives that died in the midst of this for one reason or another. And with that, as a result, many people began to go, wait a minute, I better be prepared. Is there someone who has overcome death? Because all the psychologists can't answer that. All of the world's medical systems are failing me. All of the political systems can't overcome it. Is there someone that can help me to face death better? Is there a reality beyond this death? Because of that, to the glory of God, many people have entered the Orthodox Church for the first time. They've come in, they said, hey, death is real. I want to be prepared. I don't want to just chase everything in this world. Now, as COVID has come and gone, and maybe they're just in smaller remnants, people are tempted to go back into, oh, you know, let me go back into just cares of this world and forget about the reality of death. But for us as Orthodox Christians, we want to have this beautiful thought that though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, God is with me. His rod and his staff comfort me. And that comfort will come for us. It will grow as we spend more hours in God's news rather than man's news. As we study and meditate on the Word of God, on daily prayers, in matins and orthros and vespers and the lives of the saints, this will increase our trust in the planner who is planning our lives. And we want to purposefully time our lives. And I'll give some specifics today as to how we're going to be able to do that. Maybe some thoughts of some things that have worked for me and for others. But before I do, I want to talk about this unique Orthodox paradosis. Paradosis being a Greek word for holy tradition that the Bible talks about multiple times. Although if you read the English version, most translations, whenever the word tradition is used in a good sense, modern translations try to twist it and use something else. They won't use the word tradition. And whenever there is a bad sense, they'll use the word tradition to basically say all tradition is bad. And in our, especially in the West, we've kind of got this culture of throw out all traditions and only embrace our own traditions. For example, in the sexual revolution, what did they do? They said throw out marriage, throw out church, throw out even the definition of what the purpose of sex is, throw out the blessing of children in our lives, and just going to illicit sexual immorality and try to have a way to please yourself and use other people for your own pleasure and have everything in this life be only about their own happiness. But that's worldly traditions that are trying to creep into our lives because Satan has been successful in many cultures in throwing out the reality of holy tradition. For Orthodox, we have a blessing. And this is an example of the First Ecumenical Council when the Emperor of Rome is bowing down before everybody and saying, whatever you say goes in Rome. This is right after the previous emperor was actually doing the opposite. But basically, all of us, we have this holy tradition that's passed on to us because those who've gone before us have faced stressors of all kinds. I would say, from what I've read of the lives of many of the saints, more intense stressors than anything we have ever faced, no matter how bad it is. When I read of the encounters with the demons that they have face to face, it's so much more intense as Anthony goes into the desert in the caves and face to face battling and the demons are beating him up. I mean, this is pretty intense. Or the martyrs are being tortured, skins flayed, eyes gouged, cut up, I mean, to all kinds of tortures, much more stress than what I have gone through in my life. Yes, I've had threats on my life, but they haven't come to pass. I have not come be tortured like the poor people that even in Palestine are getting tortured. We saw some videos. There's some horrible things that goes on, but these wonderful saints, they've gone through those stressors and they've passed on to us a holy tradition, a path that allows us to have peace, contentment, means of God's grace in order not to be overcome by the stressors of this life. No matter what happens, the world is going, you know, for a while, was pushing an anti-spiritual emptiness under the guise of science, saying there is no God, there is no spiritual reality, everything is only what you see under the microscope. And that led our culture for a long time, but it led to a lot of emptiness in people's lives and helplessness without a spiritual foundation. And now what's going on? There's an opposite. People are realizing they need some sort of spiritual practice, spiritual reality. So modern psychology, along with many training in various corporate cultures, is teaching them not orthodox paradosis, but openly embracing path to demonic imitations of spirituality. From everything from yoga chants to emptying the minds and leaving it empty, like the Hindu and the Buddhist practice, or even Islam, trying to lead people into any path except the orthodox spiritual life. And all of this packages often in a New Age packaging. They want to have spirituality without the church, some form of personal whatever. They make up their own gods, just like the Hindus do with more gods than they have people in India, for example, what one Indian told me. And in the midst of that, there will be some elements of truth, but mixed with dangerous loopholes that allow demonic interactions and deceptions of our enemy, the devil, and his and the influences of his demons. So if we don't know the orthodox paradosis, we can fall short. We can be unnecessarily suffering, and you're going to have a lot of neighbors, a lot of family members, a lot of friends, and maybe also in your own life, you're going to go through some of this because you don't yet know this. But the good news is tonight we're going to at least introduce some options in this area. And as you're coming to these studies, as you're coming to church, as you're growing in your faith, you will find ways to discern, and this is the most important gift probably, to discern what is from God and what is from the Antichrist, what is from Satan, what is from the demons, what is not of God, what is of the flesh and the world. And we want everything that is of God, but we have to have discernment for that. In the words of St. John Cassian, I want to also state that the tradition that the church passes on to us is not meant to be a legalistic tradition saying is a cookie-cutting tradition for everybody to only do it this way. Everybody has to pray 17 hours a day. Everybody has to fast with eating only one piece of bread every 10 days. That is not what the church teaches, but there's some online people that will, in the name of orthodoxy, grab certain quotes of certain fathers and try to dogmatize them. So watch out for those. It is important to go through the St. John Cassian's conferences, for example, and realize that he says, even for the monks, he said one person will be able to take a piece of bread maybe every couple of days and is more than enough for him. And another person will eat 13 pieces of bread in an hour and will need more. So for each person, the spiritual father customizes for that person what that person needs. When we learn of orthodox tradition, we want to realize that it is required. It is important for us to know that it is meant to be personalized, for us to have an intimate personal union with God. It is not meant to be just, well, I'm going to give you, basically replace the Talmudian laws with orthodox laws and use canon laws to bash people on the head. You will find people online doing that. Avoid that and spend some time with maybe St. John Cassian if you can. And I will put maybe in the links, if I can find the chat session in here, I will put a link that maybe after the study you can go through this if you like. This is St. John Cassian's conferences. So with that, as an important foundation, I want to share some of the traditions that have been shared with us. In this case, there's a Romanian Princess Ileana, who founded an OCA monastery in Pennsylvania. And so they were sharing, like, what are some of the traditions you have? How does that apply to our lives? And how can we, in this case was a college student asking for all other college students, but how can we apply these traditions? And she beautifully shared the abbess that's now there. And she said, you know, we have an annual cycle in the church. And in that cycle, there are certain things that we do. We go through certain quarterly cycles and in order to experience the life of God. And it is meant to be customized. But also, whether we are writing a book, painting an icon, feeding the poor, working in our workplace, whatever we're doing, no matter how pious it is or whether it's church related or not, we don't want to have a Martha spirit where we're losing the focus of sitting at the feet of Jesus and receiving the life of Christ. And it's so beautiful that God has given us these prayer books in order for us to have the traditions that have been passed on of what we can do even daily. In the monastery, they do certain things, and in other places, in our lives, we'll have our own customized traditions and that we can apply in our lives. And I'll share some possible thoughts of things that have worked with us. And with that, I'm also going to put a link on here. So after the study, you can go watch that interview with Mother Cristofora and learn some things of her as well, if you like, for further study. Having said that, in the church, we have certain services of a daily cycle in the Book of Hours and the Horologion that allows us, that gives us the Vespers and Compline and Midnight Office and Orthros and First Hour, Third Hour, Sixth Hour, Ninth Hour. That First Hour is like 6 a.m., Third Hour is 9 a.m., Sixth Hour, I believe it's 12 p.m., 9th hour, 3 p.m., certain actions that we can take throughout the day that can bring us back to that eternal focus regularly. And that is a beautiful tradition that has been passed on to us, but is not meant to be only for church practice, only for monastics. This is meant for us to learn something from it. We might not do it the way the monastics do it, because They have a different focus in their lives and different call. But in our call, wherever we're at in our lives, we're going to try to learn some things from them, to apply some of it. Maybe instead of praying for an hour at a time, we might pray for 5 minutes. But we'll take some of these glimpses of what has been presented to us. And thankfully, we can apply these. Now, with that, I wanted to share today some practical ideas, some steps that you can take. First thing when you get up in the morning, and throughout the day, you might apply some of this paradosis. And that is, we've talked about this, but I want you to practice tomorrow morning when you get up. First thing you do is that I want to purify my heart with God's strength. As I wake up, I make the sign of the cross, sanctify my mind, my heart, put me on the right with the sheep, not on the left with the goats. The prayer of St. John Chrysostom. And I breathe in. Tomorrow morning you can, if you want to do it right now, you can. And I breathe in, Lord Jesus Christ, and I move my thoughts into my heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I think of each of those words. And then as I breathe out, have mercy on me, or eleison me. I yield to the Holy Spirit to apply, to grant me grace as he is applying mercy in my life. First thing. And as much as you can, you might stay there for a minute, you might stay there for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Every day might be different, but try to develop a habit of, as often as you can, throughout the day, practicing this beautiful purification of the heart and mind and soul and body. As we exalt the name of Jesus in our inner being, much that comes at us can just poof. It can be lose its power, lose its grips on our lives. I have found in my life nothing greater than this Jesus prayer. In all the psychological studies that I've done, and I've read hundreds of books, and I've gone through many, many counselors and many training counselors and many programs, and I can tell you there is nothing more powerful than this. And so I want to encourage you to remember that. So, but if you can, in the morning, first thing, step one, purify my heart with God's strength. Then, step two, I want to focus on eternal values, eternal goals. Realize everything in this life is temporary. That which is eternal is that which is in Christ. So I'm going to say, God, I'm going to enter this with this thought. I'm going to be totally humble. I'm going to trust God's plans. I'm not going to make any demands of anyone or anything around me or my circumstance. I'm not going to demand this world bow down to my will. I'm going to focus on eternal rewards. I'm going to basically be poor, commit myself to poverty regarding the cares of this world. And I'm going to acknowledge that there's a spiritual warfare, and I'm going to commit to those words, praying, though you slay me, Lord, I will trust you. So no matter what happens, I'm going to trust you, Lord. So that's the step two. Now, I'm going through this slowly, but you would probably be doing this kind of fast. As you practice it, it becomes a part of you. It'll be easier and easier. And then you might say, okay, now I'll spend some time reading and the wonderful grace that God has given us in the Bible, the Orthodox daily readings. If time is restricted, you might say, I'm only going to read 10 minutes. If you have a little more time, you might devote a little more time, or you might do it in 10-minute segments throughout the day. But you want to have this as part of your paradosis, your daily ascesis, your disciplines, your practices of spending time in the Holy Word. There is such incredible grace that comes from the Word of God. When I've prayed the Jesus Prayer, when I've opened my heart to the peace of God, when I've committed myself to trust in Him, and now I open His Word, wow, I'm allowing the Word of God to reveal God's news and overcome the world's cares, the world's news. And then if you will say, okay, now as I do this, my next step is, can I just focus, read, and meditate on the heroes of our faith? There is a daily reading of an Orthodox saint. Read one saint's life. If you can, read more throughout the day, but at least one. There is an app out there where somebody's actually audio recorded in Patristic Nectar Publishing. You can go to their app, download the app, and listen to this one of the saints of the day. Now, when you listen to the saints, be careful. Receive the good, but realize that every saint's example is not for me. If the saint went up on a pillar and lived on a pillar for 30 years, it doesn't mean I should say, I'm going to devote myself to living on a pillar for 30 years. I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to read this saint's life. I'm going to admire that God calls different people to different things. He calls Ezekiel to walk around naked for a few years. He calls Elijah to go face hundreds of different false prophets and bring down fire from heaven. Okay, different people have different callings. He calls others to be cut their head by the sword. Maybe my calling is different. I'm basically opening myself up saying, if this saint went through what they went through and the grace of God came on them, it can encourage me that I can also go through my calling and I can ask this saint to pray for me because he is living before God. And as I read his life, I'm encouraged to go beyond this world, to think of the reality of that which is eternal. And Hebrews 11 reminds us of that we have heroes of our faith. And what does it say in Hebrews 11 and 12? It says, as we receive the remembrance of this holy martyrs, these heroes, these saints, it helps us overcome the temptations, the trials of this world. That's what the Orthodox Church continues to do, exactly what the Bible has taught us to do. Unfortunately, many modern man-made traditions, they don't even know that there are saints. They don't even acknowledge it. They even deny it. And it's like, wow, how could you read the Bible and deny the reality of saints? I don't know. But we do. I know I was there. We were just blinded to it at one time. So when you think about this, I want to pause for a minute. Which saint's life have you read recently that maybe you can share a glimpse of a saint that comes to mind right now?
I just watched The Man of God, so St. Nectarius, he was admonished from everyone, and he persevered through prayer. No matter what was thrown at him, no matter who was throwing it, even, you know, as in regards to the church, and having to flee Egypt, not being a Greek citizen, not knowing where he was going to be, or he just fell to his knees and he prayed. That's the most recent for me.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
been listening.
I've read that Saint Isaac of Syrian tells us that if we flee temptation, we actually are fleeing virtue, because where virtue is not tested, we can't be certain that it is present.
No.
So it is precisely in our daily difficulties that God is with us, transforming us into his likeness. And if we recognize the cross in our struggles, this will lead to our personal resurrection and our witness to the power of God.
Wow. I really love that one. And I want to touch on that because a lot of recent scientific exploration and different research that I've been looking into, it's amazing how it says stress doesn't hurt our health. But how we perceive stress impacts our health. How we receive that stress impacts our health, not the stress itself. So if we have this attitude like St. Isaac of Syria and saying, I have stressors that come in my life, and this is a gift of God to help me to grow in virtue, wow, that changes everything. And now makes me proactive participant with God's grace in harmony with God, to face this and not even have it impact my health, but I can grow in the midst of it and grow in virtue, eternal virtue, become more like Jesus. Thank you for sharing that. I love it. Robert, you had one.
I've just been, last couple of days, I've been listening to Clement, Ignatius, and Polycarp. And Ignatius was fed to the lions, and he was asking the church not to interfere, not to try to save him, that he was going to run to the lions.
Yes. And what was his one concern, St. Ignatius, as he was doing that, of Antioch? He was saying, oh, I just hope that there is not one part of me left to be a burden to anyone.
That's right. For anyone to see. So he disappears and Jesus is in full view.
I was reading about St. Gregory Palamas this week, in relation to the transfiguration and divine light, you know.
Yes.
He taught his monks that it was possible, as you're saying, to achieve the divine energies of God and go into this mental, spiritual reality, not sensory, but spiritual. And he was challenged by Barlaam, a Calabrian monk, and Barlaam wanted to debate him, and so they met at the great church of Hagia Sophia in Constantinople, and they had this debate, and Gregory just demolished him, right, with the Orthodox Panadisos, right?
Yes.
And the Council of Constantinople blessed Gregory's teachings, who were Saint Simeon the New Theologian's teaching in the 11th century. And so one would think that Gregory had this wonderful experience. Well, the patriarch was a Barlaamite, and so was the emperor. So they put Gregory in jail for 4 years for upholding the Orthodox faith. They threw him in prison for 4 years. Well, that's a stressor. But he was so filled with the divine light of God that he just prayed for everybody and lived his life 4 years in prison for our Lord, and certainly was transfigured himself. And that's really the meaning of this wonderful reality that we celebrate right now.
Yes.
Bringing the divine light of God into us so that we can do all these things that you've so wonderfully laid out, Anthony.
Mm-hmm. Amen. thank God for the divine light of God and the divine energies. I can tell you, I have not learned about that in any Western theology, whether Roman Catholic, whether Protestants. I mean, no matter how many people I've read, I've read a lot of people over the last 40 years, and no one has said that except within the Orthodox Church. And I didn't know that John Wesley was actually spending time with a lot of Eastern fathers and trying to bring some of that. In fact, that's how some of his teachings began, because he was trying to apply those to us. And as an Anglican priest that he was, and then after he died, they started the Methodist Church in his name, but he never wanted to start another church. That's a different story. But as you hear these wonderful saints, these beautiful stories, I want you to realize what happens inside of us as we read these saints, as we hear these saints. Something changes, our perspective changes, and that's important. So every day, if you can, practice. Just read a quick summary. It takes like 1 to 2 minutes maybe to read the story of a saint. And now, there, if you have time, go deeper. Like Father Michael is doing, like many of us have done, we go deeper. Pick up St. Gregory Palamas' writings and read through some of those wonderful, the triads, and go deeper, if time permits. If you can't do it, just commit to 1 or 2 minutes in the morning, and then maybe at night, you might have to turn off the watching a movie or something and open a book and read. Or we have wonderful YouTube videos of these saints. You can watch their lives, and you can listen to the audiobooks. People have got them all over the internet. You just listen, just enjoy for 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Amazingly, if you do 5 minutes, sometimes you go out, do 5 more minutes, and then you might stop. And then the next day you might do 5 minutes. And as you build this habit, after a while, you notice you can do it longer and longer. And the more you do, the more spiritually nourished you are, because God's grace that worked in their lives is not meant to be just for them. It's meant to be for us. God's grace is meant to work in our lives now. Saint Simeon dealt with this problem in the church of his day. There were many, even theologians, even they called themselves Orthodox, that had become just mental guys, and they just said, okay, we're going to read the lives of the saints, but there are no saints today. And he goes, this is the heresies of heresies for you to say that the grace of God and the energy of God is not available today. And he rebuked them, and they attacked him and back and forth. But he is one of the three Orthodox saints that's called a theologian. As the experience of God, he revealed so much of that beautiful divine light of God and the experiences of God. So for us to say, hey, I can have this too. I'm called to my last breath to seek intimate union with God. This is not just for a super saint. The saints were just like us, men like us, women like us. They were just tempted like us. They did not come into this life with just like, oh, I've got these superpowers. They gained the grace of God through humility, through aligning with God, and having daily paradosis, daily ascesis, daily practices, allowing the holy tradition to enter their lives and become part of their daily routine. Now, I'm going to continue the study to share some more with you. That was part of the step 4. And I hope this is helpful as you're thinking about this and saying, okay, these are very simple steps, not too tough to do. Because whether you are part of the 50 million plus Orthodox Christians that suffered under the rule of atheists and socialist philosophies that entered Russia at one point, we don't just think about all those who were martyred, but we think they were made saints. So now they pray for us. Now they are... They glorified God with everything. And while we don't want to encourage socialist, communist, atheist philosophies because we don't want unnecessary suffering, we know that what Satan means for evil, even what he means for evil, God can turn around for good. So we can have great peace. Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph proclaimed to his brothers, said, yeah, what you did to me, throw me to the pit and then sell me off as a slave. Even that God worked around for good to save your unworthy bodies and save you. So the same God can use us in the midst of all this. We can have great peace. We're about to celebrate Saint Herman of Alaska. We have wonderful American saints that we can meditate and dwell on, read his life. There's a video, I believe, is about to be made by Trisagion on his life. There are others that have made videos feel free to spend some time in those. But we are really focused on the new Jerusalem, not the current Jerusalem. We're not focused on how can I make Israel to get Jewish powers so they can go and somehow start a new temple, and in that temple restart sacrifices, all this blah, 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 blah. And it's okay that they torture and maim and rape people. I mean, that's nuttiness that's going on in the current news. We focus on eternal Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, that city that's beyond this world, that Israel, the church, that wants to, has Christ as the king, and we want to humble ourselves, focus in on him, rather than whatever else is going on in this world with all that they're trying to do. With that, we want to grow deep inside of our hearts what Matthew 6 talked about, seeking God's kingdom, his righteousness, because our battles are not visible, mostly. They are truly, the real battles are invisible, says Ephesians 6. The real battles are invisible. Therefore, I must cast down every thought that tries to exalt itself above trusting God, above the knowledge of God, says 1 Corinthians 10. With that thought, I want to say, okay, how can I, when I think about the source of my anxieties, think about an anxious thought that maybe is in your life. One of the first things that you'll try to do is, this anxious thought comes, you say, first thing I'm going to try to do is just cast it off. Just take this thought and imagine it's a satellite in outer space that doesn't even come near me because I am a new creation in Christ. So I'm not even going to focus on those. This is not even worthy of my time, if possible. But sometimes it's not possible. And when those times are not possible, then that can be a challenge for many of us. And that's when, and step five will be, we'll take time to actually journal through our thoughts. Write it down and then try to reframe them. There's a whole series of weeks of programs that I've created around this. I can't get into all of that right now. But the idea is that you want to journal your anxieties sometimes because maybe they've gotten a root in your heart. They've become a part of your being. They're constantly wearing you out. So you want to say, okay, let me write down those anxieties and let me ask God for divine wisdom and reframe them. Try to look at them from divine perspective. Look at what's going on. Rather than trying to avoid it, I face it. And when I do that, I and with the help of God, with the Jesus prayer flowing in me, and as I'm purifying my heart and I'm experiencing the peace of God, now I ask God for wisdom. Like there's a prayer in the Orthodox prayer book, as I'm about to enter a task, I pray that prayer because now I've got my heart ready, purified, and I write down what I'm thankful for what God has given me. I'm thankful for what God has done for the world and for others. I'm thankful for what he has done for me in my life. I'm thankful for every small thing that I have. And I look at my yearly strategic objectives that I've got in mind, my lifetime goals, and I reverse engineer that to my daily priorities. And I start prioritizing those into specific micro actions of what I'm going to do today. And with that, I'm going to set aside certain parts as in my day, if you want to have that peace growing, certain parts for recovery time, maybe through exercise, through focused prayer, like we have the hours of the church, that could be a great guide. At 9 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, I'm going to take a break for 5 minutes. I'm going to pray. I'm going to maybe instead of just sitting down for an hour, I'll get up for 5 minutes and I'll go for a walk. There's a wonderful book by Dr. Richard Swanson. He wrote this decades ago, and In Search of Balance and Margin. And he basically talks about so much of our health crises. The patients that he saw came to him because they had no margin, no balance in their lives. And so in Orthodox paradosis applied to our lives, I want you to put it on your calendar. So, okay, I'm going to start by putting down certain times that I'm going to have breaks. I'm going to practice Orthodox ascesis, that discipline, and I'm going to try to make a habit of this on a regular day, regular time, and now I'm going to fill in the other areas with the tasks that maybe that I've got to fulfill with the projects that I've got in mind. And then the last part, at the end of the day, I want you to take maybe somewhere about the last hour before sleep time, take time and celebrate what you got done. Celebrate what you did not get done. Both. Celebrate what you got done. Celebrate what you didn't get done. Why? Because if you got everything done, it probably meant you didn't prioritize. So you celebrate. Hey, I'm glad. I had 17 things to do. I got 3 things done for the day. Glory to God. I'm thankful that I prioritized and I got those most important areas done. And I'm thankful for what God has allowed me to accept in humility what I cannot do. And then ask for divine wisdom and grace and strength to overcome the weaknesses that you've noticed for the day and improve your plan for the next day in minor steps, just small 2% increment growth. Maybe I didn't pray as much as I would like. Maybe I missed the 9 o'clock prayer or noontime prayer. I can add that the next day. Don't beat yourself over the head trying to live this life. Live it with the wonderful peace that God gives, that grace, as we talked about from the beginning. Allow this to work in your life over time. This is a marathon. We want to build a discipline over time and pray your evening prayers that God has given the Orthodox Church and the blessing. So those are the simple 8 steps that I hope will help you to think about this. How can I start my day right, end my day right, and throughout the day practice parts of this 8, if not until I get to the point where I'm doing this 8 normally as part of my life, to overcome anxious thoughts, overcome stressors of this life, and actually thrive no matter what's going on around me, to thrive, as St. Paul wrote in the scriptures, to be content no matter what my external circumstance, whether rich or poor, whether in prison being tortured, whether outside and having total freedom, it doesn't matter. I grow in great contentment with the peace of God. Any thoughts or takeaways from today? As we enter the last couple of minutes, any thoughts or questions?
Anthony, this is Andrew. So you're suggesting when you're saying like you don't have to kind of stress yourself out about like living a super ascetic life. So like so the Roman Catholics that they take like utensils and hit themselves with it, you think that's kind of a little bit too much? Like maybe the rubber band on the thigh with the spikes in it and stuff like that, it's a bit too much.
Yeah, I definitely won't do that to myself. having said that, at the same time, there are some strange things that God has told some Orthodox saints to do from time to time that don't make sense for my life. And I say, you know what? I agree that's definitely a wrong mindset to try to do that. At the same time, I try to focus on where can I grow my own life. So I appreciate that contrast, and there is a contrast. While at the same time, I want to focus on what can I do in my life. I love that. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, man, and on a serious note, because I was kind of teasing a little bit, but I will tell you, for me personally, I don't know if anybody relates to this, the more I care about something, like when I got my bachelor's in Christian theology at Liberty University, I really, like, it lit a fire under me when I found out about Orthodoxy, and I got really excited. So whenever I get really excited about something, I try to take it as far as I possibly can within, like, a certain scope of limitations. So it's like, I don't want to say I made life more difficult for myself, but I think I was sprinting unnecessarily. It's not that I've like halted. I wouldn't say I've like halted my motivation towards it. I guess I realized it's more of like a marathon. I slowed my pace down from like 10 miles an hour, running 10 miles an hour to running like 6 miles an hour. You know, it's like, I'm still trying to run. I'm still trying to pursue it. But I think I put pressure on myself when I'm really inspired by something. I don't know if you guys can relate to that as well from an Orthodox standpoint, but I think I probably, when I initially got involved in Orthodox, you know, I was transitioning from Protestantism, I probably placed a little more of a burden on myself and I put more pressure on myself than absolutely necessary. And I probably could have slowed my pace down a little bit in the beginning.
What a great discovery. Many of us have gone through that phase.
I agree with that. I just want to say, I'm not a convert, so for me, all of this is completely new. So I have to remember it's a marathon for sure.
Beautiful.
But I can figure it all out, and I'm not going to have all the answers, and I don't know what I'm doing. So I get that.
Beautiful. Now, before we continue, and I want to hear from you if you want to hang around, since we are at 8, I would ask Father Michael if he can pray for us. And then if you need to go, go. If you want to stay, stay. I would love to hear more from you if you like to stay. If not, feel free to go also. But Father Michael, if you can lead us in a prayer.
Keeping with this feast of the Transfiguration, let's pray the Kentuckian for this feast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On the mountain was thou transfigured, O Christ God, and the disciples beheld thy glory as far as they could bear it, so that when they would behold thee crucified, they would understand that thy suffering was voluntary, and would proclaim to the world that thou art truly the radiance of the Father. The prayers of our holy fathers, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy upon us and save us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
So any other thoughts from today or any questions? And if you need to leave, again, feel free. It is 8 o'clock.
I thought you did a great job speaking about how, like, modern people have gotten rid of tradition. Like, even if you look at worldly conservative tradition from, like, the 15 and 1700s, like, modern people have pretty much considered tradition like a dirty word, not only in a spiritual sense, but even from, like, a cultural standpoint, just cultural tradition. It's like we have completely dispensed with tradition altogether, and I'm very thankful that Orthodoxy has maintained pedagogos or holy tradition. It's very refreshing to be in such a traditional culture, but that isn't hyper-dogmatic like Roman Catholicism. I don't know how anybody could, like, participate in Orthodoxy and not just be captivated from the very beginning, honestly.
Thank you.
For me, the stressors really wore me out, because I'm very heavily involved in daily studying the war in Ukraine, especially, and also many of the key people that have channels, and the key, some very key independent journalists that I keep up with every day. And over the years, I have learned, because I found myself at one time just really angry. Just angry. And that's not good. That's not good. The Lord said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And anger ruled my day. And it actually wore me out. And I'm exasperated by the horrors that are happening constantly every day right now in the world, with the different wars that are going on.
Yes, yes.
And I still care very much for the people that I have relationships with in Ukraine. And they're all, they've all drank the Kool-Aid and never going to understand. I don't think they'll ever understand what's happened to them. But anyway, my point is that at some point you have to, you can't let it rule your day. And that's like an idol. Mm-hmm. We need Jesus to be our idol. And the Lord, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit needs to be our idol. And we need to put our relationship with Him first and understand that saying in the Didache that says, understand that everything that happens to you is good, because nothing happens without God. And even wars, everything, God is sovereign, and nothing happens without his permission. And he turns even the most horrible things, he can turn them into good. And he does. He will. So I just had to say, you know, anybody that's looking at the stories every day, and I still do, but I don't let them get me mad anymore. I just say, well, it is what it is. I pray for so-and-so and pray for so-and-so. And you know, hope that...
Robert, along that line, Elder Thaddeus, Our Thoughts Determine Our Lives, that I've shared before, as he went through multiple wars in Serbia and Nazis and communists, and yet he grew an incredible peace. And he said some incredible insights when he was in his 90s that he shared. And one of them was this. He said, the reason there are wars around us is because we have war in our hearts. And he would take the blame. He said, I am to blame because I allow lack of peace in my heart. If everyone had peace growing in their hearts, there would be no wars. And so then he would just said, what can I control? I can focus on growing God's kingdom in my heart, growing God's peace. I will love others. I will show compassion. I will, when they suffer, I suffer. When they cry, I cry. But I don't get overwhelmed by them because I'm growing with God connecting in me, focusing on that eternal reality at the same time. So we want to have, part of today's lesson also is, you know, we want to have our thoughts constantly growing. I want to move my thoughts to my heart, my thoughts to my heart, my thoughts to my heart, and saying, Jesus dwells there. I want to connect with you, Jesus. You and I, one, let's be one. I want to be one with you. And that beautiful thought that you shared from the Didache. And then I abide in rest saying, hey, you got it. You know, yes, people do a lot of bad, but you got it. And everything will be okay with you in control.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we end every divine liturgy on Sunday. And these words are so important to think about. Given what Nicholas said and what Anthony just said, we quote the epistle to St. James, chapter 1, verse 7, where every good and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights. Again, the light of God must shine in us. If it does, we can't do these atrocities. The Father of lights, and unto thee we ascribe glory, together thy Father's everlasting, and thy holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, acknowledging the Father's mystery, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Every good, every perfect gift is from above. And sometimes that suffering is a perfect gift to us, because it brings us out of an earthly reality into the spiritual life. And Job is an example of that. You know, Job is very important. We started with that. But the theology of Job is important for us to understand. Whether he was in the flesh or he's in the spirit, doesn't matter. What God is trying to tell us there, Job was sinless in his suffering. God gave us that story so that we can understand our suffering.
Amen.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Bless everybody.
Thank you, Father Michael.
Bye.
Everybody have a wonderful evening. Look forward to on Sunday.
No, good night. Really.
Recording stopped.
Good night.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Sleep tight.